T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Jumping off hour two here of Sports Talk on WWL, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick, right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Big Cheesy and Metairie, what's going on, Big Cheesy? You're on WWL.
I'm good, fellas. How y'all doing today?
How you doing, bud?
All right, Big Cheesy, what you got?
I'm pretty mad, but I'm gonna go explain my madness, right? I'm gonna blame 100% on the play calling, right? I'm gonna go say play calling has been the worst thing I've seen so far in the first three games.
So why do you say the play calling? They've had a good sample size, unbelievable, like 15, 16 years where the Saints have had the best offense, always in the top five, not the top three, and I want to say 4 or 5 years number one, and they're calling the same plays they did with Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, they did with Drew Brees. They're calling the same plays.
It looks like a substitute teacher. It's teaching out there. Like
you got a substitute quarterback. That's what you got.
I'm not blaming it on Jameis, Bobby. I'm not. I'm not going to do that to him. Because if Andy Dalton has been better than he's practicing, then they would have put him in. That's just my point of view. They would have put him in and they would have seen something.
Well, I can tell you. Listen, if you came to training camp and watched Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston and you didn't know nobody, let's say you came down from Mars, Big Cheesy, and you know American football, but you don't know any players. You don't know where they went to college, how many years experience and all that. And you watch Andy Dalton and Jameis Winston in training camp competition, and there was no competition. Jameis was the guy. But if you watch every rep, you cannot say Jameis Winston beat out Andy Dalton. Now, with that being said, Jameis Winston hurt his ankle, but you look in the preseason games. All I know is Andy Dalton was perfect. Jameis Winston was perfect. The ball didn't touch the ground. But you cannot say head and shoulders Jameis Winston was better than Andy Dalton in training camp. That was not the case.
Why we don't line up under the center no more? We come out against Tampa Bay. We came out against Tampa, first play of the game. We shotgun. What's going on with this? What's going on with under the center? Like,
okay, I Big Cheese. Now I agree with you there. To me, if you truly like, we had the one drive when we were under the center and we were hammering Tampa
them.
Bay. You're under the center. You can run the ball better. The offensive line, they like it better when the quarterback's under the center because the angles and all you can run versus in the shotgun. And when, like, the RPO-type plays. I agree with you there, that if you're truly gonna run and have success, that has to happen more under the center. I agree with you there, Big Cheesy.
Big Cheesy, I think Bob would agree with this. There's a certain art to play calling. Sean had it. Now, a lot of people bitched about Sean, about certain things, but there's a certain art to calling plays.
Yeah.
And it might, okay, you might call the same plays, but it's when you call them. But Sean was as good as you can get as from a play-calling standpoint on offense. He really was. Now, a lot of people want to complain.
But
Mike, what
about the Bounty Gate year when Pete Carmichael called the plays the whole season and we were number one offense in the NFL? He forgot how to call?
No, I get that, but he also had Drew Brees. And listen, we've had players, former players tell us, man, you know, they come in with the game plan on a Friday. Okay, this is what we're going to do. And Drew, take a look at that. I don't think this will work. This really works. Let's change this formation, and we're going to run the same play, but run it out. Man, we got spoiled rotten with it. And this, anybody could take his place, okay?
Not to mention there's so many times that Drew changed the play at the line of scrimmage, whether it was a run to a pass to a run, or just change the protection. And look, Eric McCoy, that's new to him. Because Drew did it well, his first couple of years.
And
he's
Max,
having to do that. Not
change
to mention,
the protection. We can't even get the protection right from the get-go.
From the get-go.
I think Saints fans would feel entirely differently about a 1-2 start that we've seen. If Sean Payton were still coaching this team and Drew Brees was the quarterback, they'd be totally different. The temperature would be completely down.
It wouldn't be as high. I can tell you that. Now, one of the things Max said on his way out was, man, you know, playing with Drew – you know, you always had to worry about changing protection and watching this and watching that. And he was like, man,
okay, this
three
is a good
quarters
take.
Of the time, Drew was changing it before
yes.
he could.
Okay,
I mean, that's amazing.
Okay, and you know when we really were rolling? One of the best in the history of the NFL when you had Max Unger and Drew Brees. Oh, my God. They would never be wrong. When they had a combination, now you might physically get beat. But as far as setting the right protection, Max Unger and Drew Brees was unbelievable. Look at this text right here. This is from 0914. Is there any chance maybe Eric McCoy can make and change protection calls like Kelsey does for the Eagles? No, but hell no. No, he can't. At times he's overwhelmed. McCoy is not...
He ain't Max Unger.
No, he's not...
He's not Kelsey.
Exactly. Now, they paid him. They paid him like he needs to be dominant. Well, we're going to see how the season's going to play out. Because I think Eric McCoy, we don't want him to turn into another Andrew Speed. We paid him all that money. What, and they're not working out? Now, you can't look to your right or your left. It's like the blind leading the blind. Andrew Speed's looking at McCoy. McCoy's looking at Ruiz. They all, Cesar Ruiz, they're all looking at each other. Oh, I don't know. You know?
Now, Bob, I agree with you on that. I think what's on the left and the right of him is getting him a little bit jittery at that center. And okay. If I was the center, I'd be jittery too with those two guys.
Hey, Aaron McCoy would be unbelievable if he had like Carl Nix and Jahri Evans alongside him. Like,
I'd take Ben Grubbs
well,
today.
Well, yeah, that's why. Remember Brian Della Puente? He was outstanding because who was alongside him?
Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier. We'll step away and come back. Brian Matthews covering Auburn sports for Rivals.com. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The LSU Fighting Tigers on the road on the plains, taking on Auburn, 6 o'clock kickoff. Right here on WWL, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick. We welcome in now Brian Matthews, covers Auburn sports for Rivals.com. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Always good to get in, talk a little SEC football with you two.
All right, Brian, thank you for coming on.
Brian, is Coach Harsin's job on the line if they lose, especially with LSU favored by 9, and if LSU wins by 10, is he gone?
Probably. You know, I think his game is, I mean, I think his job is on the line just about every week, right? I think it's just a matter of waiting for the right time, and, you know, that axe is probably going to fall. If not this week, then certainly next week at Georgia at number one. That's going to be probably, you know, blood in the water type game.
Brian, this is almost like you're hearing the tick-tock of a clock. I mean, you know eventually, you know, yeah, the alarm's going to go off, and he's out of there. But in watching him, you know what's perplexing? I mean, you got one of the best players in the SEC in Tank Bigsby at running back. Okay, you feed it to him in the first half, and all of a sudden you unplug him. I don't understand what that's all about, because here you got a really good football player at running back and keep feeding him the football. And yet they've unplugged him at different times during games. And if you look at Auburn, he's the best player they got, you know, on the, especially on the offensive side. There ain't even a question about it. How much questioning is play calling, everything about what's happening at Auburn, but in particularly with Bigsby? Because I think, listen, I got a 3-year-old granddaughter that can figure out that guy can play.
Yeah. Well, you know, he had, I think it was 7 yards for 8 carries in the second half of that game.
God.
He is Auburn's by far best player on offense. The problem is, they don't have a scheme really that fits him, and they cannot block for him at all.
Gracious.
I mean, he averaged 2.3 yards per carry. That's embarrassing for a back of his caliber, right? I mean, he has the potential to play in the NFL, right?
No question.
There's no reason that he should have 19 carries for 44 yards against a Missouri defense that's, you know, bang on average. So that's just a real indication of all the problems Auburn has on offense. It's in the execution, but more so it's in the plan, you know, the game planning, the motivation, the talent on the offensive line and the quarterback. You know, there's just a lot of different things holding back that offense right now.
Now, Brian, with all the games you've witnessed, when you look at this Auburn team and the games you've witnessed in Jordan-Hare Stadium, how disappointing as far as the fan base? Were they just told, like, this is ridiculous, this is embarrassing? When Penn State came to town and you give up 41 points and basically 500 total yards, was that something like what? I mean, it's like almost, you know, we like a 1AA team trying to play like Division One or something. They had to be totally discouraged. And have you witnessed that type of game in a while? I'm trying to think. This might be one of the poorest Auburn teams in 2 decades.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well could be. You know, the 2012 team went winless in the SEC.
Okay.
But it was still competitive in some games. And you look at Auburn this year, since really the first quarter of the Penn State game, the atmosphere has been really dead in Jordan-Hare. I wouldn't expect it to be. You know, fans will be there. They'll cheer, but it's not going to be electric. Not like some of those Jordan-Hare nights or games between Auburn and LSU that we've witnessed in our time. I mean, some great games, you know,
right,
at Jordan-Hare and at Tiger Stadium, right? I just don't see that happening. In fact, we make our predictions, you know, later this week. I'm going to predict LSU to blow out Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium. That's how poorly coached and how poorly manned I think this Auburn team is this season.
Brian, there's a perception outside the Auburn kind of family that there's a lot of interference from influential alumni about how things should be done. There's a lot of pull and tug. Hey, I'll write you that check. I got some say on what's going on. And how much of that is true? And the other part is, I think people are saying, man, all the money that's being spent in the SEC for coaches, if it's what it took to get Billy Napier from University of Louisiana to Gainesville, Brian Kelly at LSU, to keep Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and eventually somebody going to have to pay Sam Pittman and Josh Heupel a lot more money than what they're making today. Do you get the feeling, first of all, how much interference, and is that part of it true? And secondly, I know Auburn's got a lot of money, and they could afford to go out and get a big-name head coach if they wanted to. But is it because of divisions, maybe outside the program?
Well, I think, and I've been around the block a few times, I think every school has, you know,
yes,
BOT and money guys that, you know, they don't always agree on things. I like to meddle and be involved sometimes. I think it's amplified at Auburn because Auburn's not doing well, number one. And number two, just because there's been a history now, and I think it's the easy thing to turn to at Auburn when things don't go right. You know, some meddle and abuse. You go back to February, the investigation of Harsin, right? The university conducted an investigation with counsel into an allegation on Harsin, but the narrative on that turned into, you know, the powers that be at Auburn were trying to, you know, run a coup behind the scenes to get rid of him. Now, I do think as the investigation went on and as, you know, people began to put a, you know, a magnification lens on the Auburn program, some powerful people thought he probably needed to go. So maybe that was a part of it. But that's just the way things are viewed at Auburn through that lens. And I think it's an easy way to do. Yes, I think Auburn has a problem. I think a lot of schools have that problem. And I also think one of the other problems that Auburn has is some of those guys don't tend to agree very well, and that makes it difficult when it comes to hiring and making important coaching decisions. That's why it's really important for Auburn to get, you know, they have a new president start in May. They're in the process of hiring AD. They need to get those things accomplished and done and have the right people in place to make these moves. But one more thing on that, I'm sorry, but you look at basketball, the Hybris Pearl, there's no more issues in that program. That was a program that was bombing the SEC for decades. Baseball under Butch Thompson, two College World Series in the last three postseasons. So you can get it done at Auburn. It's just getting the right people in place.
Got you.
Now, Brian, looking at their offense and where they're at, and you might say, I guess you could understand that they were playing, I don't know, a rivalry-type game against Alabama. But let's say Georgia. But playing the Missouri Tigers, and that the offense converted just 3 of 16 third down attempts and had one drive last longer than 7 plays. I mean, it's like Missouri's like, what? I mean, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not a Missouri defense that's, oh, well, yeah, we're lucky to do that. I mean, that's when you know it's trouble when you don't have any success against a team like Missouri.
It is. And, you know, I have not seen Vanderbilt play a lot, but my guess was walking out of that stadium that we watched the 12th and 13th teams in the SEC, you know, playing each other. And I don't know how many people out there actually watched the game, but Auburn was very, very lucky to win that game. Missouri missed a 26-yard chip field goal that was lined up with time expiring regulation to send it to overtime. Auburn kicked a field goal in overtime on their first possession, only because they missed one. Missouri's offside, and they got to re-kick it.
Right.
And then Missouri gets the ball at overtime, hands it off down the left side. Their running back is running into the end zone for a touchdown, switches hands, and just coughs up the ball without contact into the end zone, which Auburn recovers and Auburn wins the game. It was just mistake upon mistake that handed Auburn that win.
Brian Matthews covering Auburn sports for Rivals.com. Go ahead, Matt. Mike.
Brian, there's been some rumors out there that, you know, when the eventuality is going to happen with Brian, that one of the guys they may go after would be Deion Sanders. Your thoughts on that? Because I've heard it from a couple different people. One guy I trust quite a bit. The other one, you know, he's batting in the 20s. He's not real good with it. But your thoughts on would Auburn make that move toward Deion? Because it looks as though that maybe it's a little bit more stable at Florida State, and a lot of people thought maybe, hey, listen, if it doesn't work out, that, you know, Deion would come walk back to Tallahassee and sort of get that position. Would Auburn go that route toward Prime?
Yeah, along those lines, you look at the Atlanta connection, now Georgia Tech, and Deion. Deion's getting the names tossed out there when you think, come on, Auburn, Georgia Tech.
Deion might finally get paid like a coach, got paid as a player.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't think Auburn will even interview him or make contact with his representative.
That's what I thought, too.
He's a candidate, you know, for the Auburn job. I do think an opportunity is going to come for him, but if you look at from Auburn's perspective, Deion has no experience as, you know, assistant or GA or anything coaching on this level and running a program as big as Auburn, where you've got, you know, 40 or 50 assistant coaches and staff members, and, you know, you've got all these extra duties that you have to do, you know, and then you've got the extra thing of having to compete against all these other great SEC teams. So, no, I don't think they're going to take that sort of risk. I do think some school that maybe is in a different position, maybe Georgia Tech, you mentioned Atlanta,
yep,
maybe they're at their point in their program where they want to take that risk, but I don't think there's any chance Auburn does that. I think.
So you would think more of an experienced coach, correct?
Yes, I do. Or, a hot up-and-coming assistant. You know, I don't think there's any guy out there that you can point to and say, that guy's the perfect fit at Auburn. If Auburn hired here, him, he's going to come in here and win championships. You know, they're not getting Ryan Day or Nick Saban or those guys. That's not going to happen. But there's nobody else available that they're going to get that can do that for 100% certain. So I think John Hartwell from Utah State has a chance he could be named AD in the coming weeks, possibly. Maybe sooner. So I think he'll be put in charge of that coaching search, assuming that Brian Harsin is let go here in the next week or two. And then I think that, some names I think that will certainly be involved. Hugh Freeze is going to be involved in it one way or the other, whether he gets a job or not. I think Coach Stoops over there at Kentucky will certainly get looked at and maybe talked to. We'll see. And there's going to be more. There's going to be plenty more out there. But, this is an important search for Auburn.
Because yes.
I think they're in a situation where I think every Auburn fan out there sees Auburn, a bad Auburn team, but they've seen, a bad Auburn team in 2009 or 2008, come back in 2010 and win national championship. A bad Auburn team in 2012, get a new coach, come back in 2013 and play in the BCS national championship game against Florida State and lose on the last play there. So they're expecting that quick turnaround. But I'm telling you, this Auburn team has not been, staffed well. It's not, the recruiting's not good enough. This team roster in 2023 is going to be worse than it is now.
Oh.
And you look at the SEC and some teams coming up in the SEC and some teams about to join the SEC. This is a critical time period for Auburn.
Yeah, you need to get another Cam Newton.
The other thing, Brian, I remember having this conversation with Les Miles, and Coach would always tell me, Mike, when I look at Auburn, they look a lot like us on defense. He said that that's one thing that for a long time, man, that front seven, man, they came to play. And they had NFL talent, the speed, the quickness. They made big plays. And I'll never forget Les telling me that. You know, he said it's almost looking at a mirror image of how we are on defense. They are on defense. I don't see that.
Well, Auburn does have some NFL players on that defensive front four. Derek Hall is a superstar. He's SEC player of the defensive lineman or defensive player of the week, I think, last week.
Last week, yep.
He's an edge player, yeah. Kobe Wooden's very good up front. Marcus Harris is a good player. Eku Leota is probably going to have a chance to get drafted. He's the other edge guy. So they've got some really talented guys in their front four that can make plays, that can disrupt an offense, that can create turnovers and do those things. But they got a real problem at linebacker. That position is performing really poorly. Run fits are bad. Missed tackles are really bad. And then they've got some real playmakers in the secondary. I mean, they've had a number of high draft picks at cornerback and in the NFL draft for the last 5 or 6 years, and they got more of those guys back there now. But they're not really all playing together well. They've gotten worse under the new coordinator, in my opinion. They're not really communicating. They're not, I think the play at linebacker is hurting that group. But, they're good but not great. And I think they should be better than they are. Then offensively, it's just
a mess.
It's a big mess, yeah.
Brian Matthews covers Auburn for Auburn Sports for Rivals.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Of course, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's squeeze in Jimmy and Gretna. Go ahead, Jimmy, on our Oakland Art Jewelers talking text lines. You're on WWL,
hey
Jimmy.
Hey, guys. Look, I wanted to get your take on this. I know Jameis has been getting a lot of
heat. Wait, you're not going to bring up the Pelicans starting training camp?
No, I know they got
not,
open
not today.
Practice Saturday. I want to check that out. Hey, look, I'll say this real quick. I want to get y'all's professional take on this. I watched the game in real time. I went back and watched it again, the Saints game this past weekend. I noticed, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a scene on the sideline, and I get it, players are competitive, where the quarterback's coach wanted to sit down with Jameis and look over the three-and-out series. And Jameis basically kind of rebuked him, pushed him away. The coach, another coach grabbed him and said, look, you got to come and sit down and look at this. you know, the guy's been in the league 7-8 years, okay? I mean, he's supposed to be a leader on the team. I thought it was a little disturbing, and I get it. He's competitive, Heisman Trophy, won a national championship. But, and I get that when you get in the face of Traquan Smith last year. But in the case of this, we're having issues and discrepancies on offense. Why on national TV would you do that where the Saints fan base is watching that and the whole NFL fan base for future jobs, whether he stays with the Saints or not? Why would you put that out there, that film out there, where he essentially is saying, I don't want to look over the tape?
He doesn't realize the camera. Hey, let me tell you, Jimmy, he doesn't realize the camera's on him in the heat of the moment. And that's unacceptable. And I think, listen to this text, Jimmy, 5147. And, you know, not going to reveal anything, but here's a neighbor that's like neighbors of a Saints offensive coach. And they're going to say the offense is unchanged from Peyton. It is not the offense. It is simple, the inability of the quarterback who does not have the mental aptitude to grasp the offense. I'm telling you, there's a lot of truth to that. So, I just think what the Saints would want to do in a Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael offense, and he might not have success. I don't know, but I don't think the Saints are not going to have much patience with Jameis Winston, that Andy Dalton, I think, could grasp more what they're trying to get out of the quarterback position than Jameis delivers. I'm not talking about the chunk plays and all that. You need that. But I'm talking about running the offense and moving the sticks, moving the chains.
So you think he processes things quicker?
Who, Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It ain't even close. I watched that in practice. I watched it all through training camp. No.
So if you see it, the player, the coaches see it, right? I mean, they have to see it.
Well, yes, and the process is Andy Dalton came in here to support Jameis Winston. They want to give Jameis Winston an opportunity. They want to give him. But if you know, I don't know, when did he decide that, okay, we gave you a chance, it didn't work out. And you might say, well, you know, you can say, well, he's injured. So let's give Andy Dalton a chance. But I'm telling you, Jameis, the competitor, is he wants to play because he knows if they take him out, Andy Dalton has success.
I think there's some merit to that.
He's not going to get his behind back in there. He won't have a chance to play.
There's some merit to that.
And then he won't get paid in the future. Jameis wants to get paid like he's big time.
Well, he's not going to.
No, unless he has success. So how are you going to have success? You got to play.
He's Bobby, along with Mike Dettillier. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back here on Sports Talk, right to our Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text lines we go. Wish you guys could hear some of the conversations we have off the air, that's for sure. Bottle Man. Go ahead, Bottle Man, on our Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text lines. You're on WWL.
Hey, my brothers.
Hey, Bottle Man.
Hello, Bottle Man.
Hey, man, like I told Bobby, man, it's calm before the storm, man. I'm very optimistic again. It goes with the season, man. You remember what I told you. And they're going to be in the lineup pretty soon because Damonson's about 60% condition for his game-wise. And for his adopting and doing the part of a veteran, that's what Andy for. God don't never forget his work. Andy deserves a Super Bowl ring just like the Rams got their quarterback from Detroit. So we're on our way, man. We just have to now move the down box and change.
Well, the whole thing, though, Bottom Man, the whole that we got to do, and it's nothing to do with Jameis. I mean, yeah, he had thrown an interception, but we need our great players to play great, and we cannot afford, when the game's over against Minnesota, if we minus two in the turnover margin, we're not going to win. We need to take away the football, and we need to protect it. Something as basic as that. If you could tell me right now, we could play the Vikings, and we plus two. You know, maybe we finally got our first interception for the season, which we haven't intercepted a pass yet. You don't have to have a pick six. You don't have to have a scoop and score. But, you know, give us more opportunities. Possess the football. If we could take it away and we don't give it away, the Saints are going to win. I think they could beat the Vikings, but we're not that good. A lot of NFL teams are. You can't be -2, -3 and expect to win. You're not going to win. Whoever you think is the poorest team right now, and since the Saints lost to a poorest team, that being the Panthers, they lost 9 straight games. You can't say the Jaguars anymore. Well, you're talking about turning around a season. That has to be the most unbelievable surprise. And you got to give
Doug Peterson a lot of credit.
Now, they got their quarterback of the future. But look how they turned around. Now, even the Texans, you view the Texans, well, they're not winning anything with Mills. But look, you're in a dogfight when you play the Houston Texans.
Because of that defense.
Well, and if you -2, you would lose to the Texans.
And you know who's playing
great? You got to protect the football. You got to take it away.
Who's playing great? Derek Stingley Jr. Mm-hmm. has not given up one reception in 3 games. One. Now, he's playing like he did as a freshman at LSU. But, bottom man, the other part of it is two turnovers and pre-snap penalties. My thing about it is I get it in game one. But you 3 games into the season, you're making these same mistakes over and over and over again up front.
We have 9 in 3 games. What?
Come on. 9 pre-snap penalties in 3 games?
We should have
That's
9.
That's unacceptable.
We should have 9 or 10 in the whole season.
Thanks for the phone call. Bottle man, we'll step away and come back and get the rest of your calls here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text lines. Let's go to Sal in Mandeville. Go ahead, Sal. You're on WWL.
Hey, guys. I just want to ask a quick question. I want to set up a scenario and then ask a question. You know, if you've got $100,000 in a Ferrari and only $10,000 in a Kia, but the Ferrari's broken, which car are you going to take on the trip tomorrow? You're going to take the Kia.
Because it's working.
So it's the same. That's right.
Because it's running.
So my point is, what is wrong with the mentality of the Bensons and the Loomises and the coaches who just have this thought, this mindset of, well, we spent all this money and we put all this effort into a quarterback, so we got to play him. No, not if he's broken. Not if he's not going to get you to where you want to go. Take the guy that you spent the least money on and get the wins. You're not getting your money back anyway. Nobody's giving you your money back. Yeah. It's already spent.
And you know, Sal, I think the one thing, like, that's why I think that if you're trying to, like, protect the player or where you're at even for the future games and all, I think it would be worse if you started Jameis Winston and you pulled him in the game out the game. To put it Andy Dalton because he
wouldn't have. You've clearly said you're moving on from Jameis.
Because he haven't had success. Versus, okay, he's dealing with a few things.
So start Andy.
Yes. And so then you don't mess with that psyche. Like, he got pulled. You know, that kind of thing. So, I'd be interesting to see.
And you ain't got a ton of money invested in Jameis.
Right. It'd be interesting to see.
You don't.
What direction. I don't know. They could say, Well, Bobby, you're just way speculating too much. No, we're going with Jameis. I'm just saying all I know is Wednesday is a normal practice that you're getting ready for the upcoming game, and they put a lot in offense, and your quarterback's not even on the field? He wasn't even out there.
Well,
street clothes.
This was a planned rest day for him.
Okay.
Against his – he didn't want this, but the coaching staff – or the medical staff.
Well, they might say, well, you need to rest again tomorrow. I might rest on Friday.
No, what I think is, Seattle. I think Andy Dalton getting reps this week, that way if they decide, if Jameis doesn't play well, they know what they're looking at and getting more, even more time with the ones Andy Dalton if they make that decision next week.
Like but before I think the Seahawks Andy's game, that's a
getting,
good point.
But I think Andy's been getting those reps anyway because as far as practice
but Mike,
time,
says it's not the first time reps. So it's a difference if you have 20 plays, you might get 3. And if you're the starter, you're getting 18. Where if Jameis ain't practicing, now all of a sudden – and he's getting 18, or 18, 18 and 3 is 21. And then, so 17, and then Taysom's getting 3.
But what we don't know of what was happening behind the scenes over the last couple weeks with reps.
Well, I'm just telling you, the starter, when you're the backup, you don't get to practice.
No, you don't have as many reps.
Now, you can run scout team, but that's not your play, so you're still throwing the ball. But some guys don't need to have the reps. A lot of guys, I need the reps to get ready for the game. And that could be, Christian, like you said, if Andy Dalton's getting the reps right now with the offense, if he doesn't play, against Minnesota and it doesn't work out, that he'd be ready to roll against Seattle.
Mike, that's a wrap for you, man. Thank you.
All right, I'll be here tomorrow.
All right, two down, two to go. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.